Hey, welcome everyone. It is so good to be with you today. Thank you so much for gathering with us online. I just want to give you guys a huge shout out for all the ways that you are staying connected while we're also staying at home and trying to flatten this curve together. Maybe you've checked us out during morning prayers at 8 a.m. on Facebook. Maybe you're chatting right now. We are just grateful to be connected with you. I did want to give you just a quick reminder before Eric and I get started that we're entering into Holy Week. And what that means is that this Friday night, we get to celebrate Good Friday together online. So set an alarm for Friday at 7 p.m. and join us for our Good Friday service. Actually, as we continue on in Holy Week, we're also going to be meeting, of course, for Easter. Same time, same place. We will look forward to seeing you next weekend.
And make sure you invite someone. Reach out. Invite a friend right now. We need each other. I want to start with a story from when Julie and I were first married 25 years ago. We bought this old farmhouse that was from the 1800s. And the person that lived there before us had moved out, and they left almost everything there. There were clothes in the dryer. There was furniture in the house. There were even dishes in the sink. But the house had been overrun by families of large animals that had moved in, and we were doing everything to get rid of them and losing our minds in the process. I was ripping holes into walls. I was tearing up floors. I was literally chasing animals out of the house with a golf club. It was bad.
We had no idea what we were doing. We cut drywall with a circular saw. There were piles of dust everywhere. We plumbed toilets with hot water, which meant that every time you flushed, boiling water came through the pipes. We were absolutely clueless about what we were doing.
The straw that broke the camel's back was one morning there was a car that pulled into the driveway, and on the side of the car, there was this sign that said County Building Inspector. And as soon as I saw that, I looked at Julie and I said, quick, hide. And so we jumped in the closet, and this building inspector started walking around our house, and Julie and I came out of the closet and were crawling around, peeking through the windows, trying to figure out what he was doing. He was inspecting our work, and after a few minutes, he went back to his car, he pulled out a sign, and he came to the front porch of our house, and we literally heard him nailing the sign into our porch. He got in his car and he drove away, and Julie and I went outside, and we looked at the sign, and in huge block letters, it said, "On order of the county, stop work on this property."
Now, apparently, we were not building with the right building permits. And to be honest with you, if my memory serves me correctly, I don't think that we even knew that building permits were a thing back then. We were realizing in that moment when everything that we had been working so hard on got interrupted, we realized that while we thought we were kind of experts, at 22, we were actually amateurs. A storm came into our life and it stopped work on everything that we were doing. And friends, that's what we want to talk about this weekend. Because all of us, in one way or another, are experiencing, in some sort of metaphoric sense, a stop work notice on everything that we're doing because of coronavirus. And all of us are having this experience of being amateurs. We don't know what to do. We don't have all that it's going to take to navigate this. And so as Christians, what do we do when we need expert advice? We go to Jesus. Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Jesus, who is the great architect of all that is. And we learn from the great builder, what does it mean? What does it look like? How can we build lives that are storm-worthy, even in the face of something like coronavirus? Jesus has a teaching about just this in Matthew 7 that I want to read to you right now. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash."
Jesus is talking with us about building our lives well. And he's saying we can either build our lives really well or they can be washed away. We can build foolishly. And he talks with us about the storms that come. And these storms are the test of the building. They will really show whether or not our building is storm worthy or not. Now, what's the difference between these two buildings, these two houses? Well, actually, when you look at it on first glance, there's a lot that these two buildings have in common. First of all, the people that live in the building, they probably want the same things in life. They want peace. They actually want to have a good family. They want a house at the end of the day. Jesus also doesn't distinguish between their locations. They're built on the same bank of the river. If you were walking by these houses, they would probably look the same. Same two-car garage, same dog in the front yard, or whatever it may look like to be building these two buildings. They look very much alike. And the people in these buildings, they might look very much alike. They may have gone to the same school, even attended the same church, or even work at the same job. See, Jesus doesn't distinguish between what we want or where we live. We all want the same things. We all want, in the face of coronavirus, to have a job. We want to be financially secure. We want a retirement account. We want to be safe. What is it that Jesus meant by the storms that come? Well, the storms are the things that we can't control, we can't anticipate, and we certainly can't avoid them. And we are so good, aren't we, at trying to maintain control in our lives? We want to control and manage every aspect of our lives. And that's why we do things like pay up our life insurance and try to set aside money for a rainy day. The storms of life are things that come at us, and they are things that we can't control. Things like the coronavirus. Dr. Amy Acton, she is the head of Ohio Department of Health, and I think she's done a great job for Ohioans. The way she's described the coronavirus is very much like a storm that is coming in, and we are entering in the next few weeks the eye of the storm. Right now we know that those who are on the front lines, those who are our doctors and our nurses and our first responders, they are there now, and we need to pray for them. But listen, friends, the storm will hit every single one of us. Every one of us. And some of us today are not just facing this huge once-in-a-century storm of coronavirus, but there are other storms in life. You see, the storms, it's not just one storm or even two storms. For some of you, you're facing not just a hurricane of coronavirus that is coming toward your shore, but you're dealing with a tornado that is ripping you into your marriage and maybe dividing your family. Some of you listening today are dealing with a tsunami of a diagnosis of cancer or something. Just because one storm has hit us doesn't mean that there's not another one that's right there stirring in the background. You see, Jesus, he doesn't distinguish between the people who live in the house. He doesn't distinguish between the storms that come. So what is it that makes these two houses so different? Well, it comes down to one thing. It's the foundation. And I love how the Message version puts it. In verse 24, Jesus says, "These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words. They're words to build a life on." You see, when the storms start blowing really strongly, what we don't do is we don't go on the outside of our house and we start holding on to the things on the outside. Those things are gonna blow off. They're gonna blow away. What we do is we go down deep. We go to the basement if we have one. We hunker down and we get low. You see, all of the stuff for me that I've thought about over the last couple of months that were really important, that trip I was planning and thinking about and so excited about, I don't really care that much anymore. Those of you that have been preparing for a kitchen renovation and you've been so excited about it, who cares? You see, what is important is the foundation. And right now, there are some of us that have even treated Jesus' words as those incidental additions to life. When we think about it, you may know all the Christian answers. You may have grown up in church and you learn to say all the right things. But listen, you would say, as I look at my foundation, I don't know that I've actually built on Christ. I built on my own plans and I've added Jesus on. I built on my own cherished job and I've added Jesus on. I built on my own savings and I've added Jesus on. You see, all of those things blow away and Jesus is challenging us to really look at our foundations, to understand that he is the only one that we can build on that will last for all of our lives and through every storm. Do you want to know what your practical foundation is? It's your practical philosophy of life. In other words, it's this. Think about the things that have irritated you or frustrated you as we've been on coronavirus shelter in place. Now, for some of you, they're really big things. You've lost 30% of your retirement account, or some of you are underemployed, or now you're unemployed. Those things are really hard to take. For others of us, though, they're just irritating things. Like, I can't go out to the bar with my friends anymore. I can't go to Easton and buy stuff. I know for me, I'm really irritated that I have to go to Julia as my barber now. And I'm stuck at home with Netflix and Tiger King. These things, for us, reveal to us things that we build on. And if we are honest, we would recognize that there is a whole lot that we have built on. Our foundations in Jesus don't necessarily go very deep. We build on control. We build on freedom to do what we want to do. We build on buying stuff that we think is going to make us happy and saving for the future. And you know what Jesus says? All of those things are like sand. They are the things that wash away. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a big enough philosophy of life that takes into account the reality of death? Because that's what the coronavirus is showing us. We need a big enough philosophy of life that can take into account illness and suffering and the loss of a loved one, the loss of a business. Friends, only Jesus can help us build through that kind of storm. So many of us have heard of Dr. Anthony Fauci. He stands up on the news. He's telling us week in and week out, day in and day out, what we need to be careful of and what we need to avoid. And he's encouraging us to shelter in place and stay away from other people in this season. Well, less of us are familiar with his boss, Dr. Francis Collins. Dr. Francis Collins is not just the leading scientist in our country. He's the director of our National Institutes of Health. He's also a committed Christian, but he didn't grow up as a committed Christian. He actually grew up in a home that was very skeptical of faith. And when he was in his third year of medical school, he moved from the lecture hall and he moved into the hospital room. And Dr. Collins found himself sitting at the bedside of people who were sick and suffering and dying. And it shook him. And here's what he said about what he learned. Watching those individuals' fates, what was going to be coming soon, the end of their life, I was trying to imagine what I would do in that circumstance. Many of these people were deeply committed to faith. I was puzzled and unsettled to see how they approached something that I personally was pretty terrified about, the end of their lives. They had peace and equanimity and even a sort of sense of joyfulness that there was something beyond. I didn't know what to do with it. And there was one woman that reminded Dr. Collins of his grandmother. And she was very sick and she was terribly ill and suffering tremendously. And at the same time, she had this incredible joy and peace. And she explained the reason to him over and over again for that peace, namely her faith in Jesus. And one day she looked at Dr. Collins and she said, "Dr. Collins, I've shared about why I have peace in the face of death. I've talked with you about my faith, but I don't hear you say anything in response. What do you believe?" And Dr. Collins said it was like a thunderclap. And from that moment, he realized that his philosophy of life didn't account for the reality of death. And he began to re-examine his foundations, and it was through that process that he began to build his life on Jesus, the only sure foundation. That woman was a grace to him, like that inspector that took that sign and pounded it on the front porch of his life, saying, "Stop work on this property." And I wonder, friends, if some of us need to stop work on the property of our lives, reevaluate our foundations, and understand if they can withstand the storm that is coming.
So as Eric's been talking about, a huge part of what the storms in our life reveal to us are times where we need to evaluate and become aware of what foundations we're building on. And as you're watching right now, if you're watching with a loved one, I'd encourage you to turn to them and ask, what is our foundation of life? And does it feel solid enough for what we're entering into? But it's not just an awareness that Jesus is inviting us into with these words. As a matter of fact, it's not awareness at all. He's offering us a call to action. In the same way that that stop work notice on our house was not meant to inspire me, it was actually meant to get us to change our old behavior into new behavior, into better and more right behavior. What Jesus is calling us to in this story of the wise and the foolish builder is not just a theoretical understanding, but a call to new ways of action. As a matter of fact, it says just that. If we hear these words of mine, he says, and put them into practice. It's tempting to think that it's the hearing of the words of Christ that do the trick. Maybe even you've got them all memorized. But it's not that. What Jesus says is it's putting the practical words of God's into practical action in our lives. That's what we are being called to. And in this story of the wise and the foolish builder, you'll notice that Jesus says that we're supposed to put these words of his into action. What is he talking about? You see, the story of the foolish and the wise builder isn't a story in and of itself. It's the capstone of a much longer sermon that Jesus has just given. It's a sermon that we know as the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount begins with the Beatitudes, and it moves through three chapters until we get to this story of the wise and the foolish builder, which is really like a huge exclamation point at the end of everything that Jesus has just said. And so over these three chapters of the Sermon on the Mount, what Jesus is telling his followers is that an entirely new way of being has broken into their world. He's throwing their worldview upside down on its head. "You have heard it said," he says over and over and over, "but now I say," he says over and over and over. He's changing the old order with a new way. "You think the poor are the least among us, but I call them blessed," is what Jesus says. "You think it's the arrogant and the loud who rule the world, but I say it's the meek," that Jesus says. What he's offering to us is a radical new way of being that is called the kingdom of God. And my friends, This radical new way of being demands from us a radical readjustment of our life, a radical new way of acting and being, not just thinking. And he says this to us in so many different ways that he's calling us to activate ourselves in new ways. This is what we know as the process of spiritual formation. It's the process of becoming Christ-like. It's what we know as discipleship, that it's not hearing the words of Jesus only, but it's in the doing of them. Now, in the Sermon on the Mount, there are so many different applications that Jesus offers us. I'd encourage you to read it this week. I only want to focus on two as we end here today. Two calls to action, but I think even more than that. Two ways that we as the church can stand prophetically in and against this storm, this once-in-a-lifetime storm. The two calls to action that I want to offer us are this. First of all, a call to radical generosity. And second, a call to intentional and intense prayerfulness. We see this before we get to the story of the wise and the foolish builder. If we look back in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus tells us this. When you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their rewards in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And a few verses later, we read this in Matthew 6, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. My friends, you know this. Over the past 2 weeks, over 10 million Americans have filed for unemployment. This is not just unprecedented. This is something that we could not have realized would ever happen. Many of you right now are sitting with loved ones, and maybe you're even sitting alone, and you are feeling a deep sense of anxiety and restlessness. You've lost work. You anticipate losing work. You're concerned about how you're going to take care of your kids in the middle of all of this. Our world has been shuttered in a way that none of us could have ever anticipated. And in just a few weeks, we know that because the government's COVID-19 stimulus package was passed, we know that in just a few weeks, many of us are going to be receiving funds from the government. And for so many of you, those are just purely a godsend. Those are what's going to get you through. That's sort of the light at the end of the tunnel. But my friends, I know that for some of us, those funds, that while they are nice, they might not be necessary. And in light of that, Vineyard Columbus, I'd like to call us to a prophetic move of generosity. For those of you who are able, I'm inviting you to pray about an initiative that we are starting here at Vineyard Columbus over this next week. We're going to be developing a benevolence fund so that people who are able to can donate their COVID-19 stimulus funds into another fund that can help the most vulnerable among us, our members and our neighbors who need it most. That fund will be dedicated to helping others through direct assistance as well as through projects. Now listen, I know not everyone is going to be able to do this. But for those of you right now who you recognize that that add-on to your bank account is going to be nice, but maybe you are still working, or you have two folks in your household who are working, or you've got a great savings account already, that the funds would be nice, but they're not necessary. A prophetic encouragement, I think, from the Lord for all of us is to consider, how is it that we might act out in generosity with those funds to help those among us in greatest need? You're going to hear more about that next week. This week, I'd encourage you to pray about generosity. The second call that we read in the Sermon on the Mount, there's many there, but the second that I want to point out to us is a call to prayer. to intense and fervent prayer. My friends, you know at Vineyard Columbus, we're a both and church, and you know that we care so much about practical action. That's why we've already given out over 2,500 hundreds of bags to 500 cars through Convoy of Hope. It's why we do all the things that we do on the ground, getting our hands dirty to help people in need. But we cannot forget that as Christians, we are fundamentally people of prayer. My brothers and sisters, we are entering into a season that none of us could ever have imagined entering into in our world. And I think we're all coming to realize that there are simply so many gaps that no matter how much we do, we can't fill the gap. If you are already a first responder, first of all, thank you, and we are praying for you. But you already know that this is too much for you to bear. If you've got a loved one in a hospital and you can't be with them, you know this is too much to bear. My friends, we all are recognizing that this is too much to bear. And yet, brothers and sisters, it is in that place where it is too much to bear, where the load is too heavy, that we go to our Jesus, who is strong in the midst of our weakness, and we pray. We read this in Matthew: ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Now, you know, we think, we worry, we ruminate, we read the news, we scroll through Facebook, we think, we worry a little bit more. But my friends, what I'm asking you to do this week is to set aside intentional and intensive time for prayerfulness. If you don't know how to get started, join us on Facebook, our Vineyard Columbus Facebook page, 8 a.m. every weekday. One of our pastors starts off with morning prayers. You might want to grab a journal and start writing your prayers down. You might get your kids together with you, start drawing pictures about how you feel, and pray those feelings to the Lord. You can pray over the name of every hospital in our city. Right now, those of you who know some first responders, keeping confidentially, of course, but you can, in the chat, type out folks that you know who are right now on the front lines. We want to be praying for people. You see, the world will see us giving and doing good things, and they'll call it heroic, and that's wonderful. But the world will see us praying and not understand it, maybe call it silly. But do you know what we know, my brothers and sisters? It's that we're calling out to our good Father, who is present to us and who is able to bear us up even in the midst of the greatest storm. A call to prayerfulness is a call to being the prophetic people of Christ in this world. Pray, my friends, until you do not know how to pray, and then pray some more. This is what it means to be a Christian, Vineyard Columbus. It means that you get very real about the foundations of your life and you ask hard questions about what is it that you are building your life on, because now more than ever, we need it to be the solid rock of God, our Savior. It means that we act out in prophetic ways to our world, that we give generously, that we pray wholeheartedly, because we do know this. We know that in this world, we will have trouble. But brothers and sisters, we also know this, that the rain will come down, the streams will rise, the winds will blow and beat against our house, and yet it will not fall when you have your foundation on the rock who is Jesus.
I want to invite some of you right now to pray with us. There are some of you today that you're listening to this message and you say, you know, I'm not sure that I built my life on the rock. I'm not sure that I built my life in such a way that it would withstand the storm, and especially the storm of sickness, of illness, of death. And friends, I want to invite you to build your life right now on Jesus. Some of us need to have that stop work order put on the front porch of our lives. Now listen, that's really humbling. It is hard to do. It was hard to walk into that building inspection office and say, hey, we had a sign put on our porch. It requires humility to go back and to say, you know what? I need to rebuild. But some of you today need to make Jesus the foundation of your life. And why not make it right now? In the midst of coronavirus and the storm that is coming, where you say, in the midst of this storm, this is where I met Jesus and I began to rebuild my life. And so I want to invite you right now to pray a simple prayer with me. If you know that you have not built your life on Jesus, I want to invite you to pray to him right now and say, Jesus, I want to build my life on you. Wherever you are right now, whether you're in a living room or a bedroom or you're with a loved one or you're on your own, would you pray with me if you've never prayed that? Would you bow your head right now and say, Jesus, right now I need you to be my foundation. Lord, things that I built on will not take me through the storm, and they will be washed away, and I even recognize now that they are not solid. And so, Jesus, I recognize you as the one who has gone to the other side of death and you have conquered the grave. You are my rock today, I say, Lord. Would you help me build my life on you? Trust my life to you and build in a way that you would have me build. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed with me, would you let someone know right now? In the chat, would you say, I'd like to pray with someone? Would you click the button that says, I'm praying right now? For those of you that are on church online, if you're on Facebook Live, just put it in the chat. I'd like to pray with someone. Someone is there to pray with you right now.
In just a second, we're going to close with one more worship song, and then our service will be ended. But for those of you who are at home, who do know loved ones who are on the front lines right now, maybe you yourself are a paramedic, a nurse, or a doctor, I'd like to pray a prayer of blessing over you. So wherever you are, again, taking a walk, maybe you're on your couch with your kids for a moment of quiet, if you are one of the folks right now who is a first responder or who loves someone who is, would you join me? Even think about putting your own hand on your heart. I pray over you in the name of Christ Jesus, the peace and the protection of our strong rock, who is the God of the universe. I pray for you that God would bless you and keep you. Lord, keep them safe, keep them healthy, make them strong and courageous, and grow them into the people that you have made them to be. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let's worship together one last worship song.